welcome everyone. And this is our Aquarius pre-full moon meditation. Tuya has just completed the second sacred pentagram offering, and she'll be doing four of those. And at the time of the full moon, some of that will be incorporated tomorrow. I think we begin at 5:35 GMT in the AM. And our full moon is at 7:16:03. Should be, wait a second, I think it's, no, it's in the, it's in the PM, isn't it? Okay. 7:16:03 PM GMT. So we hope to see you there. If you have not, some other full moon appointment that you are fulfilling. It's nice to see many of you here, and haven't seen you in quite a while, and I'm very glad to be working with you. BL will be putting Francis's images, Francis Donald's images, the link to that into the chat, and you can read also the wise things that he has said and the quotations that he has brought forward. We're experimenting just a little, and our experiment is as follows: that on the days of the surrounding the full moon especially, we're going to pretty well concentrate on the energies of the time rather than to do a number of extra programs, which I think are interesting, of course, but maybe will distract us a little from incorporating the Aquarian energies or any other energies, ray energies and planetary energies related to the sign of the zodiac that might prevent us from incorporating them into our consciousness and our energy system as fully as desirable. So sometimes a day may look a little bit bare compared to the kinds of vigils we were doing and, many, many programs in the same day. But that's in the hope of helping us assimilate the particular energy of the time more adequately. The mantram, at least the spiritual mantram, water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty men. Of course, not every Aquarian is a highly advanced soul, and it's also possible to use the mantram, let desire in form be ruler. We've all gone through those stages. Maybe some of us recently, some of us less recently, whatever, where the earlier mantram prevailed. But now all of us should be using this, our very radiation, the light we have, the love we have, the willingness to sacrifice which we have, poured forth to help those who are thirsting for the higher life. They call, I think, in Sanskrit, thirst by the name of Trishna, T-R, Trishna. And of course, it is our desire, high desire, aspiration, to one day find ourselves no longer subject to Trishna and to hunger, because we will have reached a point of fulfillment. Now, we're so fortunate that the great ones have been pouring forth upon us the waters of life as they conceive them and as they are endowed with them. And our lives are immeasurably more fulfilled because that is the case. So we owe so much to the great ones, and probably what we owe will not be apparent to us until we reach that kind of status when our debt can be truly appreciated, and then we will pour forth and others will be the beneficiaries of what we can offer. In the Jofra illustration here, we see the diagram of the seven major chakras. There are really so many. You know, there's that book by Melvin Artley called A Thousand Points of Light, and he takes into consideration the major, minor, and minute chakras. So there's all kinds of vortices that need to be nourished by the waters of life, by the higher energies in this particular case. Water is another name for matter in one way, but the waters of life are the higher energies, which we desperately need in order to rise. And the time has come on our planet when a great offering or reoffering is being made by the hierarchy. And so something that happened millions of years ago and ceased happening will again happen. That is that the many of the members of the great hierarchy of love and light and power will walk openly among us and teach among us. And the elevation of humanity will be inestimably accelerated because of their sacrifice. You see here that he holds the urn containing, let us say, the energies of which he is the custodian, more or less on his shoulder. It's a bit of an awkward position, but eventually under the law of service, which is the third law of the soul and works in connection with the sixth ray and also with Pisces, will be balanced on the head. And the head center will be the repository of many, many great energies pouring forth for the welfare of all. So we need to move into that more balanced position, a balance on the head of the chalice filled with beneficent higher energies. And we can do that the more we serve, and of course, the more we study and meditate. Aquarius is one of those signs that, in a way, transcends death. You can see that there is a road leading through that skull. The skull represents the death aspect of Capricorn, and it's the transcendence of the death of the lower three cosmic subplanes, which are basically the dense physical body of the solar logos and of the planetary logos. There's a question there about whether 18 should apply to the planetary logos and 21 subplanes to the solar. But anyway, we transcend that kind of death of consciousness and enter into the realm where Aquarius truly rules and its major ruler, Uranus. I mean, Uranus is, yes, the exoteric ruler, but the moon veils three planets and the highest among them, giving us occult mind, is Uranus. So it appears twice in the rulerships of Aquarius. And ruler and Aquarius and Uranus rule the cosmic ethers, where we might say life really begins, and we transcend the death of concretion and the veil which the lower Capricorn can throw over our perception. Of course, the higher Capricorn is quite a different matter and enters powerfully into the first five initiations. And there on the hill, you know, the shining city on the hill. Yeah, I'm remembering Ronald Reagan, interestingly enough, was an Aquarian type. He believed in astrology, and he had a Finnish astrologer. It's kind of amusing. And, he said, well, there's a lot more to it than people realize. You know, he got away with saying that, and he was correct. But he often talked about the shining city on the hill. And maybe he meant America, but, of course, we have to look at that as in a much wider sense. We have to look at that as a hierarchy or even as Shambhala. And once we transcend the death factor, we will enter into that higher consciousness, which is the shining city on the hill. So this is a sign, you know, interestingly, an air sign, but it has many water images connected with it. And we'll probably be going over that in some of what Tuya is offering, but there's a fish, you know, at the bottom of the river of Aridness. And that fish is deeply associated with Aquarius and with the flow of souls coming into incarnation. Many wonders await for us in the Aquarian age, the Tibetan tells us. Of course, like any sign, it can be used improperly. It can cause epidemics because it spreads everything, circulates everything. And it can circulate destructive radiatory energies. And we have also been told that there would be many mishaps and unfortunate circumstances involved with man's misuse of the Deva Kingdom or ignorance regarding how to approach the Deva Kingdom. All of that is very Aquarian in nature. But the wonder of it and the elevation and the possibility of entirely new, more civilized ways of living with each other in a very advanced state are promised for the next 2,000 years. And, you know, if we mind our P's and Q's and don't delay things too badly, because humanity, of course, still is ignorant, and even if we as disciples in training are not quite so ignorant, we have a big responsibility to lift ourselves into greater light and lift relatively ignorant human beings into greater light. Well, if all that occurs, then the great beneficence of the life more abundant of Aquarius will characterize the way we live. So, you know, these days, whether you choose the 3-day observation, the 5-day, or even the 7-day observation of the Aquarian period. I mean, the masters, they choose the whole thing, you know, it's half a month up, half a month down, you know. So whatever observation you choose, let's tune in to our breakthrough potentials beyond the limitations of Saturn. Aquarius is so transitional in a way. It is ruled by Saturn in one respect, and the major decanate is ruled by Saturn. But the transition is from Saturn to Uranus. And let's see if we can bring that Uranian electric revelatory energy into our consciousness so that we really begin to see things we did not see before. Just the way the lightning, you know, it lights up the night sky, and just for a flash you see the outline of that which was completely concealed before. Let's find a way to let those lightning flashes endure a bit longer until we really do see what has been hidden in the dark. Okay, friends. As I say now, do go to, I think it's, we have so many websites sometimes, you know, but go to Moria Federation, I think it is. And there you will find what Francis has said, his images, and I assume also his words and some quotations from the Tibetan as well. Okay. Yeah. Now, I'm sorry, I seem to, well, anyway, let's get something different going. Here's the meditation. And, you know, we have the keynotes here. We're about a day away, less than a day away from that 7:16 GMT PM full moon, and beginning, you know, about an hour and 40 minutes ahead of time, about 5:35 GMT. So we are in the day of safeguarding, a day of receiving and of holding. And we have passed through the days of preparation, confidence, aspiration, dedication, if you're using the 7-day method. And you can, if you're using the 5-day method, you can kind of combine confidence and aspiration. Then, you know, we've just emerged from the day of dedication, where we're preparing ourselves, and we are in the period of receiving and holding. And then following that, we'll have registration, where whatever we may have received on high comes through in more concrete form. And then expectancy and belief. And what are we doing in all of this, you know? Excuse me. We are building the causal body, our own, that of the nation, that of humanity. Every full moon opportunity is the building of the causal body. And we know we're not there yet, you know. We're not there as a race. We're not there as nations, not yet. And very few yet are standing on the border of the fourth initiation, where we can say the causal body is rightly and completely equipped. It's not yet. But we build and we build. And then one day, the day comes when all that we have built can be transferred into the spiritual triad, the true impersonal world of the higher ethers, and eventually into the monad. Our path is clear. It takes what we call time to achieve it. Of course, curious thing about Aquarius, that with its action at a distance, you know, it's one of those signs of omnipresence, and it overcomes easily, more easily than many signs, the illusion of time. You know, Immanuel Kant, great philosopher, he spoke about time and space as categories of the mind, categories of consciousness. And he was, of all things, he was a Taurus rising. You know, a lot of philosophers come in on light-bearing Taurus, but he had Aquarius rising, so he could fly to the heights in those considerations. All right, friends, let us proceed. And I trust, yep, you should be able to see the meditation.
Yep.
Yep. With Zoom, it's a little more iffy than with GoToMeeting, but I'm learning. Okay. So we are the soul in incarnation, which means that our usual perception involve perceptions involve the registration of the physical body and its senses, the etheric body and its energy flows, the emotional body and its attractions and repulsions, and the concrete mind with its sometimes fluid but often relatively fixed thought forms of a relatively material nature compared to the higher thought. So we are the soul in incarnation. And we, however, begin to withdraw, stand back, withdraw our consciousness from those customary perceptions. You use the old Raja Yoga method, you know, I have a body, but I'm not that body. I have an astral vehicle, emotions, etc., but I am not them. I have a mind with many thoughts and many modifications, but I am not them either. I mean, ultimately, we're everything, but for teaching purposes, the old Raja Yoga method works. What then am I? And we might say, I am the soul am I? And my registrations, rather than the normal personal registrations, are the light of the soul, the love of the soul, and the sacrificial will of the soul. Which we as if absorb into an area of retained energies on the highest level of the mental plane, of the concrete mental plane. We absorb the light, we absorb the love, we absorb the sacrificial will, which leads to initiation. We absorb the synthesis of the higher soul. And we absorb the will of the jewel in the lotus. And we'll use those. But meanwhile, we reach out to all men and women of goodwill, and we try to meet them in the soul state. And we reach out to all the members of the new group of world servers, and we do the same. And in fact, if we can imagine it, every member of humanity, whether within the body or out of the body, is a fellow soul in the one group soul of humanity. Everyone. And so we try to realize a deep realization, which requires a lot of refined consciousness. There is no my soul or thy soul. There's only the one soul. One soul of humanity. One consciousness, the one being, finally. And that naught is but me. And so that means something very unusual. And for Aquarius, it really applies, because the sense of universality is found in Aquarius, the sign of universal love. Just as Pisces is the sign of pervasive wisdom, not his but me, and that begins to help us enter the mind as it is in Christ, with his amazing power of identification. And this is the consciousness that the masters always have as they focus in the cosmic ethers, which for us is our spiritual goal. So having gathered all of these soul energies, and in that point around the mental unit, that pool around the mental unit, which we have imagined, having connected the astral body with the Buddhic vehicle, at least imaginatively, so that love can flow into the astral body, we will sound the great second ray mantram. I see the greatest light. It's a word of power. The Antikarana passing through the pool of retained energies and will be largely of the indigo color for our purposes, and we will visualize the rapier-like light extending in intensity into the cosmic ethers to the extent we can. And one day the energies of those permanent atoms of the vehicles of the cosmic ethers will come forth to meet our projection as we become more and more intense in our projection. So I see the greatest light. And that we say inwardly as we sound the Om three times, as we project. And this greatest light, for us anyway, comes from Shambhala, the place of unfettered enlightenment. So we're on our way to pure being, we're on our way to identifying as the monad, eventually. And we are fed spiritually from the cosmic ethers via the Antikarana. The link we can probably make so far from the mental unit to the monastic permanent atom. That is, from the fourth subplane of the mental plane to the first subplane of the mental plane. And beyond that, there will be slow and steady progress. And having some little contact now, some receptivity to this not only transpersonal world, but truly cosmic, etheric, impersonal world, we realize that the consciousness of the masters is there found. For them it is a labor to lower their consciousness. But they sacrifice for our sake, as we have to learn to do, for the sake of those that are up and coming. And so we want to help them in their efforts. And we do that through pledging, through saluting their work, them and their work, and offering our cooperation to help the divine plan come into manifestation on the lower planes. So as the Tibetan taught his students to do, we will salute the Christ and his masters of the wisdom. Salutations to the Christ, the master of all masters, and the teacher alike of angels and of men. Oh. Salutations to the three masters with whom we most closely work. Master M, Master KH, and Master DK. Salutations to the Master M, Moria, the head of all esoteric schools and organizations. Salutations to the Master Kutumi, the Christ of the Age of Capricorn, lying ahead, and the Master who has the greatest responsibility to help prepare for the reappearance of his brother, the Lord Maitreya. Salutations to the Master Jwal Kul, the messenger of the Master who has given us the blue books, and in whose ashram or in relation to whose ashram so many of us are being trained for at least the first three initiations. Salutations to your own master, as you know him to be or conceive him to be. It can have been one of the ones we mentioned, or perhaps another. Salutations to the entire spiritual hierarchy of our planet. Oh. And now, in our imagination, we attempt to tune in, even if just a little, with the purpose and the will of the center where the will of God is known, and its king, Sanat Kumara, Shambhala. And we sound silently a long inner om as we as a group attempt to be imbued with this energy of purpose, divine purpose, and divine will. Inwardly, the long silent om. Now we prepare to meet the energies which are available at this time, or especially available. And so, as a group, we imagine that we condense to a point of light, of love, and of spiritual sacrificial will. And we imagine that there is a golden pathway directed towards the center of an indigo sun. And we, as that point of light, love, and power, ride along that golden pathway, which shortens and shortens and shortens until we find ourselves in the midst of the indigo sun. With the presence of Master DK very close, as we attempt to become, to the degree possible, outposts in his consciousness. We're going to imaginatively, with his help, his understanding, contact the energies of Uranus with the capacity to reinvent and renovate present energy patterns through which humanity and individuals express themselves. We're going to repattern our lives and the lives of humanity under Uranus. We're going to, under Jupiter, the esoteric ruler, encounter the power to achieve group spiritual growth and fulfillment through loving cooperation, growing together, achieving abundance, spiritual abundance together, and we're going to encounter the veil of the moon overall, a fourth ray influence, but hiding the transfiguring powers of Vulcan, etheric physical, Neptune, emotional, and Uranus, occult, mental. These are real energies. And we have to be cognizant that we can use them these days to help elevate the spiritual status of humanity. So first, let us ponder on that sort of blue-green planet, at least exoterically, Uranus, home of electric fire, meaning a first-ray monad. We focus on the alchemical power of Uranus to transmute, transform, transfigure, and translate, leading to the reordering of the lower worlds according to the pattern in the heavens. Everything can be new and different. Behold, I make all things new. And we bring that energy into our groups, into our lives. The reordering of our group work, the repatterning, and of our nation, and of the comity of nations. The Uranian energy flows. We will sound the Om on a violet note, B, and hope to see this repatterning take place in a beneficent way, we feel these qualities coming into our group life. And as this violet ray, especially the seventh at this point, pours in, we repattern. We have the opportunity. And which one of us doesn't have the need to repattern? Now, we encounter the esoteric ruler, the great planet Jupiter, bestowing evermore upon us the fullness of group consciousness. And certainly we have not yet arrived at the optimum of group consciousness. Group consciousness, group love, enlarging and unfolding the causal body, bringing us into the full realization of group soul, conveying the life more abundant, the planet of abundance, the ruler of the monadic plane, and the sign of abundance. Where is Jupiter needed in our group life, in our individual life? Certainly, we are all building and rounding out our causal body and the causal body of our group. And eventually, the causal body of humanity. So we feel, we imagine that royal blue, slightly tinged with purple, flowing into our group life, bringing the expansion, the larger and larger ring pass not, we all aspire towards. And we'll sound the Om three times on the note G, a Jupiterian note. Imagining this happening. and more our identity becomes that of the group. And our individualism blends with that of the group individuality. And we really learn to work as a group. And the sense of spiritual optimism overtakes us. And finally, then, it is the moon, but not the moon per se. It is the moon as a veil of transfiguring energies. Vulcan remaking, strengthening the etheric physical. Neptune bringing buddhi and monadic energy into the astral body. And again, Uranus, occult mind, occult brilliance in the mental body. As we move towards transfiguration, we need all these three working their magic upon the three lower vehicles. So I will sound three notes, the D for Vulcan, the A flat for Neptune, and the B for Uranus, as we watch the transfiguring power flow into our group life. Vulcan first, then Neptune, then Uranus. And may we all move towards that glorification, which transfiguration is. And may we all realize that we are but tiny units as monads within the sun, and that every one of us is a unit of love, love, wisdom, regardless of what our ray may be. We are units of the deity who is a consuming fire, fire of love. It's hard to realize, but that is a fact, according to the Tibetan. And by sure and certain means, the love wisdom reaches us into the soul, into the monad, into our personality. And we feel pervaded by the great second ray of our solar system. And from that we reach towards the constellation of universality, of universal love, and towards its particular light, a beautiful way of being expressed, the light that shines on Earth across the sea. Coming from the great sources of abundance, it will change everything, even on Earth. But these days, it is the power of that constellation, Aquarius, one of the 12 in the heart within the head of the one about whom naught may be said, the cosmic logos. We will ponder in silence, as we should these days, toward the actual full moon and beyond. Water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty men. We'll take some moments of silence to get into that energy and realize that we too can be the water of life. There are always those who thirst more than we do. Water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty men. It has been said that one of the highest psychic powers is the ability to detect the need of another. And of course, then, once that need is really detected, that thirst, that hunger, that aspiration, even that desire, then the means of helping to fulfill it is more easily accomplished. Everyone is in need. Need is simply the distance between the present state and the ultimate fulfillment. That goes a long way. So let us see if we can be very sensitive to the thirst, in this case, the thirst that exists in our associates, those we might be able to help, and how we can be a source of the waters of life, just as we have been, or had our thirst slaked by the Masters and the Christ and ones greater still. So now, from that great heart within the head center of the supercosmic logos we call the one about whom naught may be said, where Aquarius is one of the 12 petals, there is a pouring forth. It connects very much with the little bear, considering as the Ajna center of this great logos. And by whatever means, it makes its way into our solar system, but first into the cosmic logos, where our solar system is a great heart center, and then into our solar system. And then through the solar logos to the planets Uranus, Jupiter, Neptune, Vulcan, the moon simply being a veil, and thence to the earth, to Shambhala and all monads, to the hierarchy and all souls, and through that ever-expanding causal body, the ever-expanding Brahmarandra center, the highest head center, making its way all the way to the very base, which in one sense Aquarius does rule. Redeeming matter and bringing the highest into the lowest, It's a time for change, and so these next days, let us tune in on that great stream of energy coming from the very highest sources. And somehow through our soul and through our soul-infused personality, direct that Aquarian energy to some place on the earth where it is really needed. What would that place be, were you to think of it? Let's have a moment. I'm going to use the note B flat in association with the sign Aquarius itself and the kind of a darker violet note. To direct the Aquarian energy into a place that is needed, and you decide how you will direct it. This meditation with the great invocation. And with the encouragement to intensify your attunement with Aquarius, with its rays, the fifth ray for Aquarius and the seventh, second, fourth, sixth, and first, for its planetary associates, as we build towards the actual exact moment of the full moon, and then distribute as much as may be possible. And when you say the great invocation, think of where these energies of light, love, power can be directed for the benefit of humanity. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center where which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Want to thank you very much for being here to meditate. It's an important, well, there are every sign is important, but these days Aquarius is really important. The sign of the hierarchy, the sign of democracy, the sign of the creative will of the people. So thank you so much, and tomorrow we'll continue with the actual exact moment of the full moon service meditation, and we'll include some of the sacred pentagram along with that. And if you have not some other full moon appointment, then we'd be most happy to see you. Meanwhile, from all of us on the communications group and members of the Moria Federation and USR and Seven Ray Institute, we wish you lots of love and many blessings as we all rise together, you know, all rise together towards the life more abundant. We'll see some of you tomorrow. Have a good, whatever lies ahead of you, evening, night, day, whatever it is. And let's really tune in on Aquarius. Bye for now.